sing along and just get ready to worship our Lord and Savior. Definitely awake this morning. It sounded awesome. Well, once again, welcome to Aldersgate Church. You can be seated. We're glad to have all of you with us this morning, and a special welcome to any visitors among us. We are especially glad to have you as well. And if you are a visitor, there is a little form in our bulletin, and we'd ask you to just fill that out so we know that you are here and we can maybe reach out to you and just say hello, and thank you for coming. And a couple of announcements this morning. One is that we have 2018 offering envelopes available, and they are set up on tables just outside of the sanctuary in the hallway going over to the Family Life Center. So we invite you to, after service, to swing by and pick those up for the coming year. And then the other announcement that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks is once a year we have the opportunity to say thank you to Pastor Troy in a way other than just our voice and our handshake. through a pastoral love offering. Pastor Troy just pours his heart and soul into this church in so many ways that most of us, including me, don't even know about. And so if you haven't made a love offering to him and you would like to, today is the last day where we'll be collecting those in service. And you can just write on your check or the envelope that it's for a pastoral love offering. If you didn't bring your checkbook today with you, that's fine. We can still accept those over the next couple of days if you want to drop it off at the church office. So I just invite you to consider doing that and just showing Pastor Troy how much we really care. And with that, I invite you to rise and pass the peace of Christ with one another.
You'd be like, no, okay. Stay mad at me. I thought you were cool.
Yeah. No.
You ain't?
No.
So you ready for your nameless fling? Is that your favorite
song? I will
song
be
now?
So mad.
Is that your favorite song now?
I love it so much.
You know, I can see the finger of God coming down here.
Light of the world.
We have an opportunity today to receive a witness from Scott Humes as he comes and brings light to the third candle in the Advent wreath and relighting candles 1 and 2. Scott's been worshiping with us for a year and more recently became a member among us. Won't you welcome Scott as he comes to share?
I would like to thank Pastor Troy for inviting me to share a time when my focus was redirected to follow God's pathway and his promise. I did not grow up in the church. I was an adult when I entered into membership for the first time with a congregation. And it was the first time that I took church to heart. I really believed this was what God had wanted for me. During that time, I learned the foundations of Christianity, and I met some very loving people who encouraged and strengthened me. By spending time and serving together, those friendships heightened a desire to be part of a breakthrough for God, for church growth, and relevance to those who were not yet there. After a few years into the journey, I began encountering challenges. My personal growth was being stunted by how I was being asked to be the church. My spiritual journey was being forced onto a specific course that for me didn't connect. I saw the effects of routine religious motion dampening my spiritual life and eat away at the excitement that I had when I first took church to heart. And a sense of conflict began growing inside me because I knew that being the church was God's commission to be more than inwardly focused. But I ignored that sense of something isn't quite right for quite a long time. The sense of inner conflict didn't go away, it only became stronger. More years passed, and a sense of uneasiness grew into a sense of dread. There came a time when I was sitting at church last Christmas Eve, hoping for a breakthrough, something to reawaken me. But I realized I was in the wrong place, and I needed to stop holding on. This was a dark time, and I felt alone in a room full of people. This inner turmoil was driving me away from what I thought was God's way for me to be close to him, to grow in him, and to find peace in him. I didn't think anyone shared a spiritual pathway similar to mine, and most of all, I didn't think I would ever find it. You might be familiar with the lyrics of a song by Casting Crowns. And they go, "Oh my soul, oh how you worry. Oh how you're weary from fearing you lost control. This was the one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you though if you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away so no one knows." These words were inspired by the verse where David says, "Why so downcast, oh my soul?" That is where my soul was last Christmas Eve. It really bothered me that I wasn't living out a Jesus mission in lockstep with a majority of those who simply wanted to be the church. So it was with mission in my mind that I began to visit church websites. I didn't have any expectations. I was open to anything that would speak to me in a way that conveyed a dedication to an intentional mission that reached out to people where they were. What needed to speak to me was authenticity. While searching, I came upon this: reaching with the heart of God for the lives of our community. Aldersgate is an imperfect church, gathered in God's perfect love for change and new life. And then in all capital letters, "Could it be that you are reading this because God is reaching for you?" A church that admits it isn't perfect, that's just like me. I remember attending worship here for the first time, and it was like a cork had been removed, and all of that inner conflict rushed out of me. I didn't want the service to end. I only wanted to remain in worship and soak it all in. Curious to learn more about what life is like here, I took part in the visioning session held earlier this year. Unknowingly, I sat at the same table as the wife of Aldersgate's first pastor, Wanda Doverspike. The visioning session began with self-introductions around the room, including myself, although I don't quite remember exactly what I said. During the first break, I found myself in conversation with Wanda, and she looked at me and said, "You belong here." I must have had an astonished look on my face because she said again more emphatically, "I'm telling you, God wants you here." I've come to learn that Wanda is not someone with whom you want to start an argument. The lyrics in the chorus of the song that I mentioned earlier go on to say this: "Oh my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, he will make a way. Let him show you how you can lay this down, because you're not alone." I am so grateful for how God's redirection brought me to a place of peace and contentment, a place of hope and continued growth, and a place where reaching out to others where they are is authentically lived out in lockstep with one another. We've heard about the circle and the multiplying nature of the Advent wreath. The circle, God's love and faithfulness without beginning and without end. The multiplying nature of the light from one to two candles, and all the lives Christ touches to become carriers of the Jesus story. On this third Sunday of Advent, we stop to think about how tiny points of light become our focus, even though the darkness is still present. When I look to the night sky, the darkness is all over, but my eyes are riveted on the stars piercing that darkness. This Advent, as the darkness of sin in the world continues in many ways, God wants us to believe in his power through the Holy Spirit to shine for Jesus, to draw attention to Christ, and to give hope to anyone covered in darkness. Believe today that Jesus wants to use you to pierce that darkness. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Brian, you're
you noticed that that beautiful response to the Advent wreath lighting was written by Sherry Doner back 9 years ago. And I distinctly remember it was my first Advent season here, and she and I talking about Emmanuel and the promise and the call to confess our need and his faithfulness on our confession to see us through. Just one of the many gifts that are poured out through us gathered as one here today. We do have Holy Communion today. It's not in the worship folder. That's my fault. I got so wrapped up in pulling the service together, I missed it on the calendar. So we will be combining the prayer time and the offering time together as one. And in that time, I want you to know as the ushers move past you, you're welcome to come forward. We have 8 prayer blankets, prayer shawls up here to pray over. If that means Dan and the group needs to extend the final chorus a little bit, I'm sure they'll find a way to do that. Don't worry that we won't catch you up here awkward, you know, when the music finally stops, okay? We'll make sure you're covered. And
is
the choir singing? Okay.
So it's
okay. Well, maybe we'll do that during communion, and I'll lift that up now. Yeah. Here are the, if you would take these to heart, there are some very serious prayer blankets and prayer shawl concerns up there. Dixie with health issues. Dixie Bear, a member among us. Dixie has had years of health issues. She and Gil faithfully worship at 11 o'clock. Gil is now here with his son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter. Gil's back there in the back of the sanctuary, but Dixie is at a long-term care center in Carlisle, and we want to blanket her in tangible prayer this week. Also, John Dibler, prayer blanket for him. John has been in Temple University Medical Center in Philly for 8 weeks now, waiting a lung transplant. His condition continues to grow more serious as that window of opportunity for that transplant seems to be closing a bit. We pray for his strength. He has great determination, but we pray that the doctors and the forces that be would all intersect in a way that allows that to come to bear. John Jr. will be taking that prayer blanket following worship. Kelsey, a child with health issues. Gwen, also dealing with health issues. Jo Ellen, health concerns. Lauren Bonnix, a member of our praise team. And Lauren is dealing with some upper respiratory issues that have a long-term prognosis of before recovery. So though treatment is there, it's going to be a while. So we pray for our brother Lauren. Ryan, she is being deployed overseas on behalf of the United States military and those of us who are taxpayers and citizens in the land. Catherine with health concerns, and Anna, a young teenager dealing with some health struggles as well. So you hear the weightiness of those, and during the communion time, we invite you to make your way there because I'm told the choir is now coming forward.
Worship today. Isn't the praise team just doing a beautiful, beautiful job at leading us in worship today? I feel so blessed to have Dan and Kim as the alternate worship leaders, and just please don't ever take that for granted. They pour their hearts and soul into it, and would you just affirm them, please? I just think they did such a beautiful job today. And one more thing, Pastor Troy, I just want to affirm you for allowing me to tell you what to do once again.
It's in your job description, I think.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. In Christ the Lord. We give him all the glory. We give him all the glory. We give him all the glory. Christ the Lord.
And the people of God said, we say it every year as we move through Advent. Wow, it's hard to believe the third Sunday of Advent. Christmas Day is next Monday, and just a reminder that Christmas Eve, next Sunday, we will have one combined worship service in the morning. Please, if you're able to, park at the periphery. Don't park in the parking lot, but in the periphery, that you might free up some spaces for those that might be either with children or physically benefit from that, or a guest among us. We encourage you to practice the discipline of morning worship and come out for that. I would say that we collapsed the three services because Sherry said she doesn't have the energy to do all three of them. But I won't put that on her. I think that was all of us. Leadership was very gracious in agreeing to that, because in the evening at 5:30 we have a Christmas musical by the children. There's been a lot of effort put into that by those leading it and by the children and their families. That'll be combined with a candle lighting, and then at 7:30 we have a candle lighting and carol worship time with the praise choir, praise team. And then 11 o'clock, the choir also sings at 7:30. And at 11 o'clock, we have a little more laid-back, primarily piano and guitar music, and Holy Communion along with candle lighting. And we encourage you to think about persons that might need an invite. Maybe are stagnant, maybe been frustrated with the church, maybe been hurt by people who have, in the name of Christ, said something or behaved toward them in certain ways. Reach with the heart of God for the lives right around you. Reminder, tonight is the Living Nativity right out here in the parking lot, and we encourage you to come on out and invite someone, bring someone along for that as well. There is refreshment afterwards, and we thank those who put so much effort into that each year. It's a key outreach opportunity for those to connect here with us at Aldersgate. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, as we pause in these moments, as we're about to turn our attention to your written word, reveal the living word, Jesus, who came to save us, mighty to save, and allow us to be a people that increasingly understand what it is that you want for us in order to take a stand for you. Wherever we are, grace upon grace, mercy and forgiveness practiced and offered, hospitality the byway of our living, and a trusting in your Spirit is the nature of all of us becoming what you would have us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's face it, we're about 3 weeks into the Advent season, and this story is probably just so well known to us, it's become a bit too familiar to us. You know, if you've ever been on a road somewhere, it's a familiar pathway, and it's so familiar you aren't really paying attention, and before you know it, you realize that you should have been off three exits ago, or maybe you missed a turn somewhere, or you've just been so distracted you've missed what was so familiar and right in front of you. When the gospel story becomes too familiar, too routine for us, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit will use that Holy Spirit, holy instrument called the spiritual 2x4 and whack you alongside the head or take it to your backside and sort of nudge you like it sounds like the Spirit maybe was nudging Scott to move beyond the stuck place where he was. That's not a criticism of the faith community he was in. That's just a reality of how God works in our lives. In all seasons of life. We truly have been blessed through Scott's witness today, through Alyssa Hart and her two boys last week as they shared, and through Joe and Christy Prow the week before. Also last week at the 8 o'clock service, two resident teenagers among us, Ethan and Aaron Streit, shared the Advent wreath testimony at 8 o'clock. We do those intentionally because it's a chance for you and me to get a glimpse in to how God is significantly at work in lives. And the more specific it becomes to someone else's life as they tell their story, the more general the call comes to us as the church, but also the Spirit speaks specifically to us when we hear their specific examples and interactions with God and the Spirit. Today, the gospel is from John chapter 1. I encourage you this week to think about taking a moment. Y'all have a favorite Christmas song or Christmas music, or maybe just a music that helps you think or center on spiritual things or on Christ. There's a couple favorite Christmas songs that I like to listen to, and one of them isn't Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Although I do like to hear that, but but I don't think that would be what I would want to play in the background when I read this. But I want to invite and urge you to do something that might sound a bit hokey, but it really is a spiritual discipline opportunity for you. I had a professor in my undergrad studies, political science, Melvin Kulbicki, who said every July 4th, his kids would just squirm saying, "Dad, this is too corny." But he would not relent. On July 4th, when they would have their picnic and their family gathering before they would eat, he'd say, "My two daughters will now read to you the Declaration of Independence." Because we need to remember the core of the story. And they did it. And eventually, it became a part of the fabric of who they were because they were Melvin's daughters. And Melvin loved them so much, he cared that they might repeat the grand old story. Here it is then with the gospel story, John chapter 1. Turn some music on in the background. Open up John 1. Make sure the walkways are cleared in your house, and play that music and just read this gift to you, sort of like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light. It was the light of all people. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. John himself wasn't the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of flesh or of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is our good news in Jesus Christ. It might seem corny to do that in your house, in the silence of your own heart, but I want to challenge you to do it. It's God's Christmas gift to you. Did you hear it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Not one thing came into being without him. What other passage in the Bible does that sound like? Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. And a wind from God swept across the face of the dark waters. And God said, "Let there be..." John isn't just offering a preface or a preview. This is the announcement that God, the Creator's new work, has become real. Amen. The darkness at the beginning of creation, there could not be life unless that darkness was dealt with, unless the wind of God swept across the face of the darkness. God himself pouring out the Son in Jesus is announcing to us, to the world, from this time forth and forevermore, the darkness will never, ever overcome the light. It's already done it once because of the human condition turning to its own devices, but never again, because the Son of God is the light, and his light will never, ever be overcome by the headlines, by the circumstances, by the brokenness, or by the evil intent of men. The light is not overcome by the darkness. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why you ought to read it this week, as you're in the midst of doing all the cultural things of finalizing Christmas shopping and wrapping presents or hearing news reports. Because this is the good news work of why there even is a Christ festival, Christmas. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world didn't know him. Don't be discouraged that the world still doesn't know him in so many quarters or so many hearts. It didn't stop him from coming. Matter of fact, God the Father decided to come because we didn't know him. Amen. He came to what was his own, and his own people didn't accept him. There's a bit of a warning to those of us who say we've accepted him. It's one thing to say we're part of his family, but have we accepted him? And that, in our methodical understanding of the faith, which I believe truly is scripture understanding, to methodically accept Jesus is to focus on his teachings and his ethic and invite Christ to soak into our living. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Don't store up treasures on earth, but live my teachings and you will have treasures in heaven. The teachings of Jesus are how we accept and prove our acceptance or give evidence that we indeed have taken him in. The Word became flesh and lived among us. One of the reasons I suggest you walk around like that, like I did here, is the Word, Christ, God the Son, came to live among us. How many of you have ever had the experience of going into a motel room and you go in? Do we have any self-appointed motel inspectors? As soon as you go in, you take a cleansing wipe over the remote control. You know, the remote control is probably the most bacteria-infested part of a motel room. So you take this over the remote control. You peek under the bed sheet, see if there's any bugs there. Anyone do that? Yeah, some do. Have any of you ever slept in a motel room where you're thinking, man, I really don't want to be here, but I don't have many other options. No other room in the inn. This is where I'm stuck. Just think about your uneasiness in mine. Maybe some of you are thinking back to your college dorm rooms or your college dorm mate, how they made the room. Think about the worst context you ever had to sleep in. And then think about the Word becoming flesh. God, the Father, became flesh. And he came flesh to be actively engaged in our living, in our thinking, in our loving. I want to share with you that as we prepare to come to the communion table here, we're going to put up the website. Last evening, I had no idea Scott was going to reference that the website was one of the tools by which he was introduced to Aldersgate Church. Last night around 5 o'clock, 5:30, I texted Dan apologizing and saying, Dan, I know it's late, but I'm wondering, is there any way, because I'm, you know how techie I am, is there any way we could project the church's website slider image up on the, he said, well, sure, typical Dan Grace fashion, probably easily done, I'll take a look. He came in early this morning and made it happen. I don't know how many of you ever visit our website, we try to keep it updated, but it tries to offer some glimpses into an ordinary gathering of people and how God works extraordinarily through us. And when I look at these pictures, like I'm reminded, there's people there I didn't know. I'm reminded here of the Dogs for God and Pam Caserta. Is Pam still here in the... Will you come up here, Pam? And is Chris here, Chris Keffer? Is Chris here this morning? Don't see her yet, but Pam's here. There's some kids that should be updated. They're teenagers now. This has our Living Nativity tonight. All the people that are involved in that, Christmas Eve services, a lot of times instead of service information, it has images of ministry things. There's the choir cantata orchestra last week. You can play that at home and benefit from that. My point of this is our website features not bricks and mortar buildings. You can find there what the building looks like, but what it does is it pictures imperfect people who claim that we have seen the light of Christ come to our darkness. The opioid epidemic is there. And then it proclaims we're called to go into the darkness with the light of Christ. I was talking to my daughter yesterday who told me, Dad, on Friday, the fifth the sixth. The sixth person that she graduated with has died from opioid addiction. She's 30 years old, six of her classmates. Why do we do things like that? Because God has called and commanded us in the flesh. No, don't sit down. Because now I'm going to some flesh. This past week, 278, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Gifts from the angel tree were made possible to go out to Shalom House, Bethesda Mission, Allison Hill,
Bridge of Hope,
Daystar. Pam and Chris coordinate that. But they, important as they are, they're just participants in the greater ministry of Christ. And do you see how that's multiplied? Everyday, ordinary lives. That's what Scott was talking about, I think. Is it? And did you notice in this passage? It says John wasn't the light. We confuse sometimes people who do good things in ministry for Christ as though we're the light. It says John wasn't the light. Church, take this as a warning going forward. The light isn't Pam. The light isn't me. The light isn't any human leader who lets you down. The light is Christ, and we are but reflections of that light. Amen. And she certainly is one of the mighty ones. Praise be
Thank
to God.
You. You know, God bless you. Thank you.
So we come to the table because we are imperfect. We come to the table because we're not there yet. We come to the table to be nourished and re-energized because someone out there, someone in your specific walk and my specific walk this week, needs to hear the invitation to Jesus. Or a Jesus church that ain't going to beat them up as soon as they walk in the door. Or perhaps never beat them up, but embrace them and invite the truth of the Savior to encounter them for living. Let us pray. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who repent of their sin and seek to live in peace and harmony one with another. In the name of Jesus Christ, we gathered imperfectly are able to eat with our Lord and Savior, knowing his love for us and his perfect will. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus, that in return we might become for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make us one in Jesus and one in ministry to the world you call us into. Amen and amen. I invite those serving communion to come forward, having cleansed your hands. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. You're given a portion of bread. Take that directly or else dip it into the chalice. If you take it directly, you may pick up a cup thereafter. And the cup receptacles are at the ends of the pews here. Praise team will commune first. And as always at 9:30, we are blessed to have our children with us. For they too must know that Christ wants them at his table. I invite you in these moments to use this as a time of the Spirit's talk to you and your confession to Christ of the ways you fall short and you need his grace. There is gluten and nut-free, allergy-free bread here for those that would benefit.
Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we fail in this silent age, 400 years can he be found, but poking by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed
No. with us here. God pleased with us to dwell. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. To you, Lord. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. To you, Lord. To you, Lord. To you,
let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for the mystery of your invitation to us. It's not how we invite people. Typically, we need to know them. We need to get along with them. Sometimes, if they're family, we just know we need to tolerate them for a bit. But Lord, that's not how your family works. You call us intimately, because you came to us in the flesh to experience everything that we have and to give us victory. Encourage us this day with the ways you use the everyday ordinariness of our lives to do extraordinary things. We thank you for the imperfect gathering here, focused in your perfect love. And as we go into the world this week, help us to be agents of light, to prepare hearts and minds and lives for Christmas. Wherever you place us, Lord, that's our mission field. And we go in your goodwill to take a stand. Amen and amen. I invite you to rise as able and sing, practicing your voice for this week in witness.
That glorious song of old. one who gave it all, I'll stand. My soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am his, yours all. I am his, yours all. I am his, yours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, just one more quick thing.